Amen. If you would take your Bibles from Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 is where we'll start this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. If you've found it, would you stand with me in honor of God's word? Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Here we go. This is the answer to her question. Verse 37, would you read it out loud with me? Ready to begin. For with God nothing shall be impossible. So can we do direct application right now, this morning? What are you calling impossible in your life? What are you saying is too hard, too difficult? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what's going on. A virgin had a son. And by the way, it wasn't just any son. It was the Son of God. So nothing shall be impossible. I'm not belittling your problem and mine, but we have to realize if God can do this, God can do anything. Amen? And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, and the angel departed from her. We've focused on verse 38 already this month, and so we're not going to spend too much time on that. I got another thought this morning, and that is, we're just calling it the fear not gift. The fear not gift. God has gifts for us, and this morning we're going to talk about the fear not gift. You say, that sounds cheesy. I really don't care. All right? We're going with it. The fear not gift. Let's pray, and we'll get into it. Our God in heaven, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to be in your word. And Lord, I pray that you help us to realize that you have in your word something for us that we need to apply to our lives. I believe we're going the direction that you've allowed today. And Lord, that you've received the glory through not only what is said, but how we respond to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for receiving. When the angels came to the shepherds and announced the coming of Jesus, a part of their song was, Peace on earth and what? Goodwill toward men. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. You would think that the season in which we celebrate the peace on earth, goodwill toward men, would be one of the most relaxed and one of the most joyous times of the year. But in reality, it suggests otherwise. In our stress-infused holiday season, Christmas has become a time of inflamed emotions. Christmas has become a time when people wrestle with schedules and personal needs. The financial demands of Christmas. Maybe some of you have already been there this year. Wow, I've spent a lot of money already. Drives people to distraction. There's a report in USA Today recently that money is the number one stressor for American adults. Yet, in that same year, just a couple years ago, it was estimated last year that consumers would spend about $465 billion during the Christmas season. Now, something else in this report said that the average individual spends $1,000 per person during the Christmas season. Some of you are like, I've already passed that. A lot will pass it. That's the average. And just this article I read, it just goes on and on and on about how much money is involved in the Christmas season, how much crazy amounts of time. The amount of money spent, all said for the average person, the amount of money spent at Christmas equals 2 weeks' salary on average in America. 2 weeks, like not me. Good. You know, that's good. But somebody's like, oh yeah, that's me. 2 weeks salary. Houses are adorned with lights, but inwardly people are dark. All the presents look good and wrapped neatly. I asked Autumn to do this. I said, Autumn, the reason I'm having you wrap this box is because I'm going to make it a mess. It won't look good. Some of you are being critical, trying to figure out if all the lines are straight. Mine would have been lucky to be held together still. That's kind of how it is in people's lives. It's a mess. Anxiety is huge. People get irritable people show irritability rather than goodwill toward men. As for peace on earth, the holiday season accounts for the highest suicide rate of the year. We usually think of this idea of not fearing or fearing not. The opposite of fear, we usually think of it as maybe an emotional blessing, a peace, of good times. And when our Christmas purchases are complete and we still have money in the bank account and everybody in the family is happy with each other, and during the family gathering Christmas, we didn't fight and our lives have, maybe we feel like it was successful and that's the formula for peace or something like that. Well, these people who experienced the first Christmas would say otherwise, because these people who experienced the first Christmas had just faced the most shocking moment of their entire lives. They needed this. They needed to know that they didn't need to fear. They needed peace, but not only to help them enjoy blessings. That's not what it was all about. They needed this gift to give them the ability to be able to just remain stable throughout a questionable, difficult circumstance that was going on in their lives. Three times throughout the story of Christmas, three times when you read the different Gospels, you find an angel had a reason to tell trembling humans to fear not. Ironically, even as the very Prince of Peace entered into the world, the natural response of those who heard of his arrival was fear rather than peace. See, this is not, what I'm talking about is not just for the moment, the serene moments in our lives. It is also for the times when negative circumstances, negative situations spiral out of our control. We need this for the times when things are hard, when we don't see what's around the next corner, when we have questions coming up, when it's difficult, when something arises that is beyond our will, our desire, what we wanted. It's not going exactly the way we expected it to go. We need this message right here, this fear not message, this fear not gift in our lives. When we are churned with fear, it's for the times when there's inner turmoil and it seems to suggest that peace is far-fetched. When is this storm going to end? I dealt with a family in our church about 4 years ago, and they said that statement, "When is this storm going to end?" People feel like it's inaccessible to everyday living, this message of fear not or peace in our lives. So I just want to give you a few points this morning regarding this fear not message. And we talked about last week, we talked about surrendering to God's will gives peace. And when you know you're in the middle of God's will, even though things are hard, you still know you're in the middle of God's will. Amen? Even though things get difficult, I would rather be in the middle of God's will during hard times than out of God's will during what the world would call easy times. Because you have an unrest in your heart always when you know you're not in God's will. You're not doing what God wants you to do. So you can unwrap this fear not gift when you, first of all, number one, surrender to His sovereignty. We read about the first recipient of this fear not message in relation to Jesus' birth, and that was Mary. Look at verse 29. Because when Mary initially saw the angel Gabriel, she feared. The Bible says there in verse 29, she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Her world had just been shaken on several levels. On the level of basic reasoning, she had no idea how it was possible that she could conceive a child. Her words were, "Seeing, I know not a man." However, there were greater implications embedded in this announcement. And we have the blessing of scriptural hindsight. So we have that perspective of being able to look back. And we know the rest of the story already. But she didn't have that. Right? She didn't have that. Think primarily of Mary's privilege to be the mother of Christ. Here, welcome back, Charles and Miss Shelby, to church. They just had a baby Archer. Everybody say congratulations. Praise the Lord. We have a baby right here. Love at a distance. Amen. Some of your distance is like, you know, like right here. The privilege to be the mother, a mother is great, but the privilege to be the mother of Christ, that alone would have given her reason to fear great misunderstanding on the part of her family and friends. She wasn't married, first of all. And very soon, I know she was betrothed, but very soon she would have to announce that she was with child. And most wouldn't believe her account of when she says, "Well, an angel visited me and the Holy Ghost came upon me and now I'm with child." The majority of the world would have been like, "Oh yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense." Society wouldn't have been, you know, thumbs up there, Mary. Mary, highly favored among women. They wouldn't have said that. So no wonder, listen, no wonder Mary cast in her mind were the words. So this was a lot for her to process. This was a lot for anyone to process. It's a lot. Listen, some things in our lives happen that's hard to process, right? Difficult to process. I know I've said it a lot, but it's personal to me and it fits. When Autumn was a newborn, maybe this isn't the best time to bring this up. No, don't do that. We believe in God, right? No superstition. She got RSV. And the doctor told us it was an ear infection. And the doctor was wrong. They're not always right. And I was at the church, and I was cleaning up a huge mess I had made. I mean, I was in trouble, really. And so this, Autumn, you actually got me out of trouble with this, believe it or not. I haven't told this part of the story. I was in trouble. I'd broken fluorescent lights in the gym, and the gases went everywhere, and there was church was at you know, 6:30 that night or whatever, Wednesday night, and it was like 5:30, and kids go through that gym like crazy when they come to the church. And I mean, I was, yeah, you can ask me the rest of the story later, but I'm sitting there like, oh, I'm dead. I'm fired. You know, I'm vacuuming, trying to vacuum glass. You know, I'm using a shop vac, and then all of a sudden, Mrs. Tidd, the pastor's wife, comes in. Tim! I'm like thinking, I already got in trouble with Pastor Tidd. Why are you yelling at me too? And I turn around, and there's two cops standing next to her. And they come walking in. I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. No, I didn't say that. But she told me that Sandy and Autumn were on the way to the hospital. Autumn stopped breathing. Sandy had to resuscitate her. And so we went from one hospital to the next hospital to the next hospital. And the doctors had to keep tapping her chest to get her to breathe. She had oxygen, all this kind of stuff. And so it was touch and go for about a week there. It was touch and go whether or not she was going to live. And it was hard to process. I remember the doctors and the nurses standing over her, just like tubes and lines and equipment and masks and gloves and the gowns. And this is before COVID, you know, and this is, I mean, there's just all this stuff going on. And my wife and I are like, this is just, we're not processing it. It was surreal. We didn't really comprehend what was going on. And I remember thinking, you know, Lord, why, how can this, my words weren't, how can this be? But I had a moment of fear, not a moment, I had a while of fear. And it had to lead me to either doubt God or trust God. We both, her testimony and mine are different in how we dealt with it, because neither one of us said anything until after it was said and done. I mean, we did try to encourage each other, but with the word of God and things like that in prayer. But just how the Lord got a hold of our hearts, and how I had to say, okay, God, this is your daughter. You gave her to us as a blessing. She's yours to take if you want her. And regardless of the outcome, I was at a moment where I was no longer fearing, still doing what we needed to do, not doing nothing, but I was no longer in fear. So days later, and I had peace regarding whatever was going to happen. That was hard to get to, but we got there. And I was casting in my mind, this happened just after Thanksgiving, before Christmas. Doctors and nurses, their vacations were interfering with things. That was crazy. Almost felt like they kind of rushed us out of the hospital once they realized she was going to live, because they wanted to go on their Christmas vacation. But finally, obviously, she's still with us. She's still with us. Amen. Needless to say, I read the Christmas story a little differently that year. I did. It was Christmas time. And when Mary cast in her mind, how can these things be? Sometimes we get there. How can this be? Perhaps you're there right now. I don't know. You're in the grip of fear. And your natural, your fleshly response, your natural response to the unknown is a cast in your mind. Deliberate, question, evaluate. Mary moved, though, to another response from that. She pondered her situation, and the angel spoke two words of assurance. Those two words were the words, fear not. See, Gabriel, the angel, had a heavenly perspective, God's perspective, and because of that, he reminded Mary in our text in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You've got to remember that is a truth in your life. And with that reminder, Mary said the words that many of us might have said sometimes, you know, spoken, but found difficult to live out. And that would be the words there in verse 38, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever's going on, God, be it unto me. So be it. Be it unto me according to thy word. Easy to say, hard to do. But she settled in her mind this idea of fear not by surrendering to God's sovereignty. Because that's point number one. Surrendering to God's sovereignty brings you can unwrap the gift of fear not by surrendering to God's sovereignty. Let me say this. It's not real catchy, but there's some truth to it. I'm going to say it a couple times probably. A mental assent to the theological truth of God's sovereignty. So that's on one hand. A mental assent to the theological truth of God's sovereignty. So what do you mean? I believe God's in control. Do you believe God's in control? Say amen. Okay. So that's a mental assent to the theological truth of God's sovereignty and a personal choice of trust are vastly different. I know God's in control. I trust God's in control. Two vastly different positions to be in. Isn't that true? The first is a good starting place. The second is where we find this fear not again. Of course, we have an advantage that Mary didn't have. So what's that? We have a complete Bible. Full of the very promises of God. And although I don't fully understand the intricacies of God's sovereignty, I don't fully understand the intricacies of God as a Christian being in control of my life, and I don't understand the intricacies completely. I know what I believe, but I don't understand the intricacies completely of God's in control, but man has a free will. I believe man has a free will. Amen? The free will of man for salvation. You choose whether or not you're going to believe in God or not. Amen? But God is not willing that any should perish. And so God's going to do all he can do to see that people get saved, but he's not going to force anybody to get saved. If you don't know Christ, you're Lord and Savior today. I want you to understand it's that way because of choice. Because here's the thing, God has done everything necessary to happen for you to be saved. So what are you talking about? I don't want to confuse anybody. You know, when Christ, we're going to preach on it next Sunday morning. This is more encouraging. Because we more of an encouraging message, because we can face hard times and we don't have to fear. Amen? That's an encouragement. Next week, we're going to talk about Jesus' death during Christmas. Pastor, the cross during Christmas? Yeah, because Jesus said at the end of his life before Pilate, for this cause came I into this world. He was born to what? Die. He was born to die. For your sins and for my sin, because the reason that happened was because I can't get to heaven on my own. For by grace you're saved through what? Faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has done everything necessary for you to be saved, but it's you willing to accept this free gift of salvation. I believe in you, God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I accept your gift of salvation. I'm not trusting my works. I don't believe baptism can save me. I don't believe going to church can save me. I don't believe being a good person can save me. I believe you came to this earth. This is the reason for the season. You came to this earth to die on the cross for my sins. And by faith, I accept you as my personal Savior. The Bible says you believe in him with all your heart. You call upon him. You believe in him with all your heart. You'll be saved. Amen? So that's man's free will. And God also being in control. In our lives as Christians, that's the same thing. God is always in control. There's never a time where things are out of God's hands. He's not ever saying, I don't know what to do about the situation. He's always in control. But it's a mess and it's chaos for me when I'm trying to control and I'm not trusting in him. So that's where my choices interfere with God's control. I can yield to him. Or I can reject him as a Christian and him working in my life without question. Let's look at some verses here. We are not going to get through all this message, and that's okay. We still have some time, though. Don't start zipping up your Bibles yet, okay? Isaiah 41, verse 10. I can't stand the zip-up Bible covers. Raise your hand if you have a zip-up Bible cover. Right, raise your hand. See, look at that. Look, keep your hands up right now. Keep your hands up right now. If I start hearing this zip, 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 you know how hard it is to close out a message when everything's going zip, zip, zip. Say, Pastor, if you can't preach through some zipping, then you just can't preach. You get up here and try it, all right? You get up here and try it. All right. Isaiah, I'm just messing with you. I jest a little bit. Isaiah chapter 41. I just heard a zip. Somebody's being a smart aleck. Isaiah 41. I'll just preach longer. That's what I'll do. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Read this out loud with me, would you? Ready, begin. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Some of you had that memorized. I saw you looking at me when you were saying it. That's great. Jeremiah 29. Just one book to the right. Jeremiah 29. Verse 11. Ready, begin. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Romans 8. Romans 8. Some of you aren't turning because you think you have this verse memorized. We're not going to Romans 8:28. Romans 8, verse 18. Ready, begin. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I reckon. Paul's from the south. All right. Now we have verse 28 of Romans 8. If you got it memorized, great. You can try it that way. Ready, begin. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's go to one more. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 17. We're going to read verses 17 and 18. Actually, let's read verse 17 together. I'll read verse 18 by myself. Verse 17, ready to begin. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, the things in this life, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, these promises and hundreds more promises in the Bible remind us that we can safely settle our soul on the sovereignty of God. We can settle our soul on God himself. These promises will help you refocus. These promises will help you point your circumstances to an eternal perspective, is what they'll help you do. Mary didn't, go back to Luke, Mary didn't have all the problems of the New Testament. I mean, all the problems. Huh? I said that wrong. Almost blew that out of the water. Let's say that again. Mary didn't have all the promises of the New Testament like you and I have. But she did have Gabriel's statement. And Gabriel's statement was this, verse Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. If you trust him. And when you trust him, even when things are humanly inexplainable, unanswerable, when you make that choice, you find that you have received the fear not gift. You find this fear not gift when you surrender to God's working in your life, his sovereignty. And you also find it when you obey. You can unwrap this fear not gift when you obey. This just goes along with the Sunday school lesson this morning. Mary had questions. Do you think Mary had questions? She had questions. Think about it. If she had questions about the virgin birth, Joseph would have had even more. Right? You don't often think about Joseph. To be sure, he's included in the stories. You know, in pageants, he's dressed in a sheet and bathrobe similar to the shepherds, maybe distinguished by a different color, something like that. But Joseph, in the Christmas pageants, he doesn't really do anything. He just kind of stands there, right? My wife played the song Silent Night right before we preached the message for the offertory. And there was a boy who was doing some work, drawing a very large man in work clothes. And it surprised the teacher, and the teacher questioned, "Who's that? This very large man who's drawing, who's that in this Christmas story?" And the boy said, "Round John Virgin." Kind of matter-of-factly, he said that. So apparently our songs don't say enough about Mary's husband either. So this boy decided for himself to draw this male figure of Joseph. And here's the thing that I'm getting at. Despite our omitting Jesus' earthly stepfather from the script, despite our omitting Joseph from the story often in our minds and in our eyes, he's just the stepfather. He's just the guy who kind of helped Mary raise Jesus. He wasn't really Jesus' father for sure, but for Joseph, these troubles were very real as well. For Joseph, these sorrows and these struggles were hard. He had questions as well, and he had frightening moments, and he had frightening moments of decision that he had to make as well. If you remember in Luke 1:27 that we just read, it records that Mary was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. This is important. Jewish espousal or betrothal was stronger than engagements are today. It meant more. Their customs had more to it. The standards of betrothal, by the standards, Mary and Joseph technically were legally married, but would wait about a year from their betrothal commitment to consummate the marriage. And so this meant that nothing but unfaithfulness could end this relationship in Joseph's mind. And ending it was actually considered divorce. Mary's announcement that she was with child put Joseph in a real dilemma. He knew that he was not the father of the baby Mary, or the baby Mary. He knew that he was not the father, the baby Mary was carrying in her womb, and he had no precedent in history. He had nothing to go on in the past that virgins could have babies. Right? It was not plausible. The only reasonable conclusion would be that Mary had been disloyal to him. Unless he was to risk his marriage on what appeared by all natural explanations to be an unfaithful spouse, he had two other options, and neither one was pleasant. He could have Mary put to death by stoning for unfaithfulness that was in the law, or he could divorce her. Those were his two options. Interestingly, just as Scripture emphasizes Mary's purity, it also specifically points to Joseph's character. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. The Bible is very clear and very purposefully points to Mary being pure. And it purposefully points to the character of Joseph as well. It says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, or verse 21, it says, verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, just, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Obviously, Joseph loved Mary, and he didn't want to her to suffer. He considered his limited options, and he leaned towards a private divorce. What a heartbreaking and fearful decision this would have been. I can imagine his fitful nights. I can imagine the frustration. I can imagine the anger maybe at first and the enduring he had to do. But no doubt he tossed and turned. No doubt he cast about in his mind, weighing his decision from every angle. What do I do? But no matter which way he looked at it, there was no good answer as far as he was concerned. And it was in this moment, it was in this crisis, it was in this moment that an angel was sent again to bring God's message of fear not. And it says in Matthew 1, verse 20, look there, please. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is not because of unfaithfulness. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. See, here's what I want to get to. For all of Joseph's reasoning, he had no answer. For all of Joseph's reasoning, only God had the answer. And for all your reasoning, for all your questions, for all your logic, for all of your intellect, for all of your ideas and your opinions, we don't come up with the answers very often, do we? Only God has the answers. If we're going to have the right answer, it's going to be when we look to the Word of God and we get on our knees in prayer and we go to God and say, God, I need your help in this situation. I need you to work in this situation. I need you to do this. For Joseph, the true test of faith would come as he simply obeyed the command of the angel. Because to obey would require courage. Joseph, fear not to take into Mary that way. Joseph, yes, she's going to have a child, but the child's going to be the Son of God. The child's going to be Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. From their sins, and that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, if he went around announcing that, the public opinion wouldn't have been, oh yeah, that makes sense, Joseph. Yeah. Yep. That makes sense. But Joseph chose to unwrap God's gift of fear not. Today, God's word is not delivered by angels. It's bound between the covers of this book right here, the completed Bible. It's taught to us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you know Christ as your Savior, He helps you. But when you're faced with a confusing situation, listen, when you're faced with unsettling decisions, you've got to seek God's answers through the pages of His Word. Make a greater commitment to God's Word. Because God alone knows the intricacies. God alone knows every fact. He knows every situation. And from his vantage point, he instructs us in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Choose to obey God's word. Choose to obey God's directives. And even when they contradict your own understanding, you have the luxury of leaving the results to God. God, this doesn't make sense. That's fine. Obey me. Leave the rest up to me. God, I don't get it. You don't have to get it. I get it. Obey me. Because when you fully obey him, he assumes full responsibility. Tonight, we'll get into the last fear not gift. I want to encourage you to be back tonight at 6. There's one more fear not message in the Christmas story. At this time, let's go bow our heads in prayer as we have opportunity to respond to what God has spoken to our hearts about. Our God in heaven, Lord, I pray you'd help us to kind of unwrap this fear not gift in our lives as Mary and Joseph did. It's a precious gift from God. Truth is, Jesus is this fear not gift. Because of Jesus, we don't have to fear. Lord, maybe somebody is fearing their eternal salvation. Maybe they don't know for sure heaven is their home. If they lay down tonight it'll be like many other nights. And they lay down on that pillow and they close their eyes and they think, is there a God? They think, am I going to heaven when I die? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? And your word gives those answers, and they can receive peace in that area. They don't have to fear that. But they'll just unwrap that gift. They'll accept the true gift of salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Lord, I pray that You would help that individual this morning. If there is somebody like that. For those others, Lord, in here, the Christians who do know for sure they're saved, but they might have questions. They might pillow their heads at night and all sorts of thoughts and worries and concerns keep them from sleeping. They try to come up with answers and methods and solutions for problems in life, and they're bewildered, they're dumbfounded. Lord, will You help us to commit to getting into Your Word, to trusting You, to obeying You? Lord, when we understand You're in control, and when we obey You, it will bring peace, it will bring the opposite of fear, it will build our faith. Lord, I pray You'd help us respond this morning how You'd have us do. In Jesus' name we pray.